Attorney, may it please the court, my name is Joan Hill McLean. I'm the attorney for Ricardo Bradford, the appellant in this case. Mr. Bradford is an African-American male who currently works for the city of Chicago, and he suffers from a mental disability known as bipolar disorder. On December 16, 1999, Mr. Bradford came to work after a hiatus from work due to his mental illness. When he arrived at work, he realized that he didn't have a check. And consistent with his mental illness, he became a little bit irate and, well, a little more than a little bit. In any event, one of his coworkers heard him ranting and raving about his check not getting paid. He wanted to get paid. And apparently he was speaking with his counselor at the time, and the counselor encouraged him to vent. And of course, he vented. And one of the things that he said during his venting is that, "I would like to wrap my hands around her neck," referring to Ms. Perino, the young lady who was listening to him, his fellow coworker. Subsequent to that, he encountered his supervisor, Ms. Ross. And, of course, he's still venting. He's still angry, but he's no longer on the telephone. He meets Ms. Ross in person. And when he speaks to Ms. Ross, he makes the following statement. "You know, this kind of stuff is what makes people go postal. This is how people get hurt," or something to that effect. In any event, Mr. Bradford was subsequently removed from the premises and was suspended after an investigation for 15 days without pay. The same thing. Not ranting and raving, he's working for the city of Chicago. He's calmed down a lot. In any event, Mr. Bradford brought this lawsuit based on the fact that he believes he was discriminated against based on his race and his disability. I need to also inform the court that Mr. Bradford did request, after this incident and the 15-day suspension, he did request, with medical proof, a need to transfer from that department. He believed that being in that department caused him a lot of stress and caused his illness to be more profound than it would normally be if he had been transferred to a different environment. His doctor supported that position. In any event, the city denied his transfer. The issue that is currently before this court is whether or not the trial court erred in granting the appellee's motion for summary judgment. As the court is aware, summary judgment is proper when there are no genuine issues of material fact. We believe that in an instant case that there is a material fact that has to be resolved by a trier fact. In this particular case, the court found that there was no material issue of fact because appellant did not provide enough information regarding persons who were similarly situated as he was. Now, what Mr. Bradford did, and we believe that it shows that there is these people, these city employees were similarly situated to him. He, first of all, proved that he is a city employee and that they were city employees. Second of all, he proved that the other employees engaged in violent conduct, similar to his conduct, in several cases more serious than his conduct, that he was treated more harshly than his fellow workers because he received a 15-day suspension. And the examples he provided the court, we had situations where one employee physically threatened to kill her supervisor and was only reprimanded because of that statement, whereas Mr. Bradford, in this particular case, was suspended for 15 days for words that may not, in our opinion, fit within the realm of violent or threatening language. Well, he didn't say, "I will choke her." He didn't say, "I will go postal." He said, I would like to." You know, in a fit of anger. I mean, that can be described as First Amendment speech. Well, I think it's disproportionate if you say that I want to kill my supervisor directly to that supervisor. I'm going to kill you. I think that's the direct evidence of violent conduct. and violent intent. Here we have a person who said, I would like to go, this is what makes people go postal. He didn't say, I would like to go postal, or I'm going to go postal. Well, it's finely drawn if you want to...
What you're suggesting, what they should have done, it seems to me, is fire the other one too, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, the tough point is, did they discriminate against him or beat him up because of his race, color, and creed? And never mind the bipolar thing, because they don't have to tolerate that. Even your mental condition, does that give you a lead to threaten other people's lives and have to live with it?
I agree, Judge. And the problem that I have with this particular case is that the speech that he engaged in can be interpreted both ways. And that's...
Imposing sentences now for hate crimes, which, you know, when somebody just says something to people, it seems to me that this gets pretty close to being threatening hate crimes, whatever the hell. But, I mean, I'm trying to...
Judge, I don't know how to do it other than to rely on your good judgment in this particular case, and I hope that the court conclude that Mr. Bradford, venting. He was venting, and that this was not violent in the sense of the city ordinance that allowed... I agree. It may very well do that. I believe my time is up, so thank you very much.
May it please the court? Mr. Bradford was suspended for 15 days after the city conducted an investigation and determined that he had threatened two of his co-employees. This morning I will explain that the district court properly granted summary judgment on both of Mr. Bradford's ADA claims, his discrimination claim as well as his accommodation claim. On his discrimination claim, Mr. Bradford has failed to establish even a prima facie case. To do that in this case, one of the things he has to show is that similarly situated non-disabled employees were treated more favorably than he was, and he has failed to do that. He hasn't adduced a shred of evidence to show that the employees he claims were treated more favorably than he were non-disabled. That, of course, is essential for establishing disability discrimination under the indirect method. Nor has he shown, for that matter, that the pertinent mitigating and aggravating circumstances involved in those cases, in the cases of those other employees, were the same as in his case. In fact, Mr. Bradford tells us virtually nothing about the other employees. But in any event, even if Mr. Bradford had succeeded in establishing a prima facie case, he would not succeed here because he failed to adduce any evidence to show that the city's proffered reasons for disciplining Mr. Bradford was a pretext. The undisputed evidence here is that two employees complained that Mr. Bradford had threatened them. The city conducted an investigation and found that Mr. Bradford had threatened them. Mr. Bradford has not shown anything to establish that finding in any way is tainted. That there's some other reason that the city, in fact, imposed the discipline. As to Mr. Bradford's accommodation claim, by way of accommodation, Mr. Bradford seeks to be transferred to another department or division because he says that working with people he believes are fearful of him causes him stress. Well, Mr. Bradford wholly misunderstands the concept of reasonable accommodation. His complaint is not that he can't perform an essential function of his job a job, by the way, that he's had for years and still continues to hold. His claim is not that he can't perform an essential function of that job without a transfer. He says that he would like a transfer to reduce his stress. Well, of course, we would all like to reduce our stress, but the ADA doesn't address that. It requires an employer to make reasonable accommodations to an otherwise qualified individual, which means that an individual with a disability who would, with the proper accommodation, be able to perform the essential functions of the job. This court's made clear employment decisions such as transfer generally must rest with the employer, not the employee. And here, the evidence of Mr. Bradford's position is speculative. He thinks that Mr. Bradford would probably be less stressed out if he were transferred. Well, this totally speculative testimony cannot be the basis for a serious infringement on the city's employment decisions. For that reason, and the reason stated in our brief, we respectfully request that the court affirm the district court's judgment. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Very briefly, I want to address the reasonable accommodation issue, which I didn't have an opportunity to address previously. First of all, it's very clear this is a very sick person when his illness kicks in. That's very clear. I think the appellee's brief clearly set forth some of the problems that my client has suffered. His doctor wrote a medical statement and testified during the deposition that he believes that would be in the best interest of Mr. Bradford to have him transferred to a different division. To go for Mr. Bradford to go to a office every day, knowing that these people are fearful of him, knowing that they don't want to be around him, certainly that heightens his illness. It heightens his stress to a level where it's unbearable for him and causes his bipolar disorder to kick in. We cannot compare Mr. Bradford to a normal person. That's why he is disabled. He is not normal. He has needs that must be addressed, and here his doctor addressed those needs. It was brought to his employer. His employer simply said, the supervisor said, well, I think that he would be better served under my direction versus having him transferred somewhere else. They didn't try to reasonably accommodate him. And what the court found was that Mr. Bradford didn't want to work with these people. It's not that he didn't want to. He, as well as his doctor, believed that it was medically necessary for him to be transferred out. And I see my time is just about up again. In any event, I believe that the court has heard our position. You know what our position is. We hope that you have a blessed and wonderful holiday. Thank you very much.